Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting freedom, peace, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. All our listeners for tuning in. We're very fortunate to be joined by Kenneth Damro, an avid hunter fisherman turned vegan. And Kenneth is joining us from Wisconsin. Welcome, Kenneth, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Hello, Marlene. It's an honor to be talking with you.
Well, I'm thrilled about this. I'm very anxious to hear your story. So can you please tell us your story?
Well, like so many people in the Midwest and back in the time, I was raised in a very pro-hunting, fishing family. My father was very much into it, and my uncles and grandfather and pretty much all my relatives and my brother, that's what we did. We hunted and we fished every chance we could. That was our main form of recreation. We ate what we killed, and is what we talked about all the time. And it was really a big part of our life. And, you know, when you're young and you're brought up in a family like that, you know, a young boy like that just really wants to be in favor of his family and his father. So, you know, I swallowed it all hook, line, and sinker, so to speak. And I became very good at all of that. And truth be told, I just loved being out there. You know, the killing part really never was the focal point for me. I just loved to be out exploring the woods and the water. And I just loved the outdoors. And, you know, what I didn't know then and what I know now is that you can be out there and enjoy it without harming animals. But anyway, so yeah, I was an avid hunter and fisherman, and I even trapped for a little while, you know, throughout my teens and into my 20s. And, you know, I moved to Wisconsin's Northwoods when I was 18, and I sort of took on this Grizzly Adams lifestyle. You know, I thought, you know, well, we got to have meat to be healthy. And if I'm going to eat meat, I'm going to go out and shoot it myself because I'm not going to pay some farmer to raise it for me. And so that's the kind of life I led. And that went on for many years. And, you know, you can't really do that for very long without coming to the realization that these animals are really feeling a lot of pain and suffering, you know, in the hunting and fishing process. When you're shooting and killing these animals, they're suffering. And that became apparent to me, and it weighed heavier and heavier on my mind as I became older. But I was really convinced, this was pre-internet, by the way, and I was really convinced at the time that you need to have meat to stay, you know, a certain amount of meat in your diet to stay healthy. And, you know, then I met this fellow from central Wisconsin and befriended him. And he also was an ex-hunter. And I was talking to him on the phone one evening, and we were talking about hunting and killing and whatnot. And I was telling him, you know, it's just, I wish we didn't have to have meat in our diet because I'm having, you know, ethical problems, issues in my head with the whole thing, you know. And he just laughed at me, and he said, of course we don't have to have meat in our diet to stay healthy. And I said, oh, I think we do. And he said, no, we don't. And I said, yeah, I think we do. And we argued, and I had just gotten a computer at the time, and he directed me to a couple of vegan websites and urged me to read, which I did. And I stayed up all night reading, and I never felt so misled and lied to in my life. And I realized, you know, that, gosh, we don't need meat to be healthy. And I've been killing and harming so many animals, so many wonderful, beautiful animals, for no good reason. And so anyhow, that was a big, that was a big, huge part of my life right there.
Wow, that's a significant story and experience. Thank you, Kenneth. And I'd love to hear about your, yes, and I'd love to hear about your book, A North Woodsman's Guide to Everyday Compassion.
Yeah, so after I quit hunting, I felt compelled to write a book because so many of my friends and family, of course, were hunters and fishermen, and I just felt that so many of them just needed to give themselves permission to quit, and they needed to know that, we don't need meat to stay healthy, and you don't have to be out there with a gun or a fishing pole to have a good time and to enjoy the outdoors. And so I wrote the book, hoping that these guys and these people would read it, and it could change their life as well.
Thank you. And did you receive any pushback from your community?
Well, after the book came out, I went and I did several talks, presenting the book, and yeah, seems like there was always a court of hecklers and threateners in the group, and they always seemed to position themselves in the back of the room, and they would listen to me for quite a while, and then of course take major issue to what I was saying, and it was difficult, I have to admit. The hunting and fishing community, these are forceful, loud, oftentimes belligerent types of people, and it's not the easiest thing always going up against people like that. And so yeah, they would seek me out. They feel extremely threatened by anybody who is talking about, changing their lifestyle, changing the way they think. And it's frustrating, and it's tragic that people are not more open-minded. But I have to think back on my own life. It took me an awful lot of years to understand this myself, what kind of led up to this whole thing of talking to my friend on the phone was, just previous to that, I had gone deer hunting with my father, and he was getting up in years, and my mother didn't want him going out alone hunting, so she sort of volunteered me to go with him, and I went out with him, and I wasn't even going to hunt, wasn't going to shoot a deer, but I got wrapped up into the hunt, and I ended up shooting a deer, and there was a number of deer in this herd of deer, and sometimes you hear hunters say, "Oh, I've hunted all my life, and I've never wounded an animal," and I think those guys are either lying or they haven't been hunting very long, because sooner or later it happens. And I took the best shot I could at this deer, and the whole herd sort of dispersed into the woods, and I climbed down out of my deer stand, and I went over and I looked, and I could see blood that I'd hit the deer, but it wasn't anywhere in the area, and there was a blood trail, and it was right before dark, so I couldn't track it for very long. So I went back to the cabin, and the next morning I went down and picked up the trail, and there was a couple inches of snow on the ground, and it was the most heart-wrenching thing, Marlene. There were two deer that broke away from the pack. It was the deer that I'd shot, and a companion deer, apparently. I don't know if it was a sibling or a friend deer, or maybe a parent deer, I don't know, but it had the same size hoof prints, and I tracked this wounded deer for probably over a mile, and you know, it would go for a ways. You could tell it was, you know, dragging its feet, and it was in a lot of pain, and it was suffering. There was no doubt about it. It was bleeding a lot, and it would lay down, and there's a big pool of blood, and then it would get up and go, you know, again for quite a ways, and then lay down. And every time it did that, its companion deer stood next to it and never left its side. And, you know, that just blew me away. And finally I found the dead deer, and the other deer, you know, had sauntered off at that point. But, you know, these animals, they have friends, they have relationships, they're committed to one another just as we are. And that was a big turning point for me too.
We're listening to Kenneth Damro via Skype in Wisconsin. Kenneth is an avid hunter-fisherman turned vegan. Kenneth had stated that when he was considering not hunting or fishing anymore, he was afraid he'd lose his connection to the natural world, since hunting and fishing was the vehicle that brought him out there on a regular basis. Immediately after he quit hunting and fishing, he began volunteering time doing bird, amphibian, bat, and mammal studies. He also got into wildlife photography, kayaking, cross-country skiing, hiking, and camping. So instead of being focused on a few species, as he was before, he's now focused on learning about and observing all of them. He has stated that he's much closer and more engaged with the natural world now than ever as a hunter and fisherman, and he feels so good knowing he's no longer out there killing and causing harm. And he wrote a book, A North Woodsman's Guide to Everyday Compassion. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Kenneth Damro. Welcome back from the break. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. Much thanks for joining us on Vegan Nation. We're joined by Kenneth Damro, an avid hunter-fisherman turned vegan. Thank you, Kenneth. Do you have any other experiences that you'd care to share with us? Maybe some trapping or anything else?
Yeah, well, you know, there are all kinds of heart-wrenching, bloody, terrible hunting stories that I could tell you. Unfortunately, but there was this one other time that really sort of was an awakening for me, and it wasn't even a hunting experience, but it was related to that. And it was, you know, I oftentimes hunted rabbits or snowshoe hare when I was younger, and sometimes they'd come, you know, through the woods, and you'd shoot and you'd wound them, you know, and sometimes you'd break a leg, and these animals would have to run on a broken leg. And of course, that's not the objective, but it happens. It's part of hunting. And that really weighed heavily on me. And one time my wife and I were at a local small town softball game, and you know, everybody was there drinking beer and eating hot dogs and talking stupid and laughing and having a good time, and all of a sudden this ball player hits a base hit, and another ball player slides into third base, and it was one of these bases that it was anchored in the ground, and his ankle broke, and the ball player laid there on his back with his leg elevated, and his foot was still in his shoe, and it was like hanging there by his baseball sock. and it was pretty gruesome, and everybody in the stands started throwing up, and it was just a really bad scene, and like nobody could handle the brutality of that. And all I could think of is, oh gosh, this looks like a rabbit that I'd shot and wounded in, you know, in the woods. And everybody's eating these hot dogs, and nobody's grossed out about that, and yet they can't stand to see this baseball player. And so when you see a human suffering, somehow it's different than seeing an animal suffering. But at that point, it all came together for me, because it's all the same, you know. And it's just so fortunate this baseball player didn't have to get up and run ahead of a pack of hounds, you know, on his broken stump. We were able to call the ambulance and get him to a hospital, you know, which is what should happen to any wounded animal as well, but it doesn't. So that was a really big turning point for me as well in my life.
Thank you, Kenneth. That reminds me of the philosophy of veganism, which is the golden rule. And like you said, when we witness or experience the suffering of the human, it really hits home and touches our heart. And so veganism is extending that into the animal queendom. And on that note, I want to say that for me, one of the important aspects of life in 2023 is human freedom, as I see the world becoming more totalitarian and surveillance and all that that's going on with the surveillance cameras everywhere and digital ID and all that, but really focusing on the high-tech surveillance of the cameras that's being used on humanity now. And I heard someone speaking that, you know, that's wrong. It's a violation of our rights, and humans are becoming more enslaved. And yet that same person was advocating and boasting about this high-tech camera used in hunting. And I was like, well, that's the whole point. You don't want it used on us as humans, yet here this is being used on animals, so it's bad enough in my opinion. I know we're in an evolution of change, but whether it's bow and arrow, whether it's a high sophisticated space age weapon or surveillance camera being used on the hunted animals, that's like violation of the golden rule. And then, of course, to me, that relates to the boomerang effect, that what we impose and do to animals eventually boomerangs back into the human society. But on that note, I didn't mean to go off on that long of a tangent on it, but what about the equipment, and especially what I'm talking about with this whole thing of the surveillance cameras and all that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, you know, I mean, that the hunters and the fishermen, they all want to go out and kind of be connected, you know, to the natural world, and they all kind of feel like Daniel Boone or something when they're out there. And yet, you know, there's somebody in some factory somewhere, or probably even more correctly, some computer robot somewhere making this equipment with, you know, super high tech, you know, machinery and high tech materials, mined who knows where, shipped who knows how far. I mean, gosh, there's so much stuff now. I mean, I see guys that they're out there. One time I was out trail running and I heard this squealing sound and down in the woods, and I thought, what could that be? And I went running down through the snow, down in this big hollow. Here it was some coyote hunter with playing this recording with these really loud speakers of this like rabbit squealing. And he's sitting there like in this white suit. And I'm like right on the X where the coyote is supposed to be, where he's going to shoot. I look at this guy and I'm like, don't shoot. You know, I was just as lured in as a coyote would have been. And it's just, you know, and the duck hunters use these mechanical ducks that flap their wings, and It's just ridiculous. The whole thing is just ridiculous, you know. And the state continues to try to convince us that if we're not out there managing this resource, you know, there's going to be so many animals there. It's going to be like Alfred Hitchcock's the birds. You know, I mean, they're going to be in our houses. We're going to have some kind of dire consequence for having too many animals. Well, I'll tell you what, these animals are supposed to be abundant. And it's just the fact that we need to be out there killing them and harming them to keep them in balance is a lie. I will tell you that right now. It's a lie. So I don't know. Where did I start with? Oh, yeah, the technology. It's just all such ridiculousness now looking back on it.
Thank you, Kenneth. And thank you for being so courageous. Really, really courageous. Thank you. So let's go on to a lighter note. I'd like to hear about what you eat.
Well, you know, Marlene, when I first went vegan, of course, this was, you know, before we had vegan cheeses on the market, or kind of lived on potatoes and pasta and oatmeal and fruit and whatnot. And but, you know, over the years, thanks to all the wonderful vegan doctors, you know, Dr. Greger and Dr. Furman and all these, there's so much information now out there. And so it seems like each year I refine my diet a little bit better. And I'm pretty close to being whole foods, plant based now. And, you know, I even incorporate intermittent fasting now into my lifestyle. And I've always been into gardening, and so I during the season when we can harvest homegrown produce here, I try to work that into my diet as much as possible.
Thank you, Kenneth. Thank you very much. And we're coming to a close in the interview for today. What additional messages do you have for our listeners?
Well, I guess it's just, again, I would say I would urge you to, you know, don't believe the lie that we need to be out killing animals for their own benefit. It's not true. They don't need us to harass them. They need us to appreciate them and to learn from them and to love them.
Thank you. And is there any contact information that you'd like to share?
I do. I mean, I have an email if people would like to do that. It's kfdveg@yahoo.com. So it's my initials, kfdveg@yahoo.com.
Thank you, Kenneth. And thank you very much for joining us. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk.
Thank you. Let's have a little musical interlude, and then I have some vegan announcements, both locally and internationally. Here's Freedom by the Sugars. Tuning into Vegan Nation. We've been joined by Kenneth Damro in Wisconsin. Much thanks to Kenneth. Here's a local vegan announcement. An art exhibition at the New Bedford Art Museum / Artworks It is called State of the Union by vegan artist Jane O'Hara. Her exhibition runs until August 20th, 2023. Her project includes really great art and information about every state in the United States, including Massachusetts, Wisconsin, and Michigan. The music we're listening to is The Sugars, and that's Carrie Sugar. That's her stage name, and also known as Carrie Plummer, and she is the founder of Northern Vegans in Michigan. Her band, The Sugars, is with her vegan brother, Eddie. National event I'd like to announce is by Vegan India Movement, happening on August 15th and August 19th, 2023. Vegan India Movement, in collaboration with city groups, planned nationwide campaign Freedom for All, demanding to end the slavery of animals. Part of this campaign, they will speak to the public about animal rights and veganism. 22 plus cities across the country raising awareness and demanding freedom for animals. At this junction, I'd like to add in the philosophy of deep veganism. World peace and human freedom requires animal liberation, as we so reread. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com and also wcuw.org/community/Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station nor its management. And much thanks to my guest, Kenneth Dahmer in Wisconsin. Let's go out with Freedom by The Sugars. We also heard The Duck Song and The Deer Song by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.